The Defense Department created the Third Offset Strategy as a way to keep its technological superiority over rivals. But the strategy is a legacy of the Obama administration, which has many wondering what's next for the Third Offset. Deputy Defense Secretary Bob Work is trying to address that question. Federal News Radio Scott Massioni tells us more.
If there's three words that could describe Ash Carter's time as defense secretary, many would probably go straight for the Third Offset Strategy. That's because it's become such a part of the vernacular, it's practically a buzzword in the defense community. The Third Offset Strategy was created to fight future wars. Wars we're just conceiving of. The point is, to be so far into the next technological age with US weapons that they offset any advantage the enemy has in firepower. The US did that in the past with nuclear weapons and guided munitions. Now it's on to its third iteration. But the Third Offset Strategy has been Ash Carter's baby, and next year a new president is going to walk into the Oval Office and appoint, presumably, a new defense secretary. It's important to remember that the Third Offset is just a plan. There's no laws keeping it in place, and honestly, not many people are exactly sure what DoD is investing in when it says Third Offset Strategy. Kathleen Blakely, a senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments, says there's a tendency to call any advanced technology part of the Third Offset. But that's not the case. Here's Blakely on the true meaning of the Third Offset Strategy and how much DoD is investing in it.
Really, it's a much more narrow focus. And, you know, Deputy Secretary Work and Secretary Carter have outlined these five priority areas of man-machine teaming, autonomous learning, deep learning, autonomous weapon systems, and two others that are going to be the priority areas of focus for what I think are actually going to be relatively small investments over the near term, of about maybe $1 billion for cumulatively $12 to $15 billion of investment over the next 5 years. So these are really fairly small, fairly targeted investments that are meant to provide kind of a gestalt for how our operations, how our military operations are going to work. What does it mean if we have machines that can learn really well? What would it mean to have autonomous weapon systems? And it's really that's a technological jump beyond the investments in high-tech capabilities that the major procurement programs we've been talking about would represent.
$1 billion for 2017, that's some small change compared to the rest of the defense budget. The new Secretary of Defense could easily ask to have that reprogrammed to other areas. So how is Ash Carter's DoD making sure the Third Offset is here to stay? Here's Bob Work speaking at the Atlantic Council in Washington to explain.
We're going to do this in one, we have three really complementary ways to go about this. First of all, I'm going to be central to the transition, so I'm going to be able to personally talk with the transition team and explain to them what we have pursued and why we've pursued it, and let them make their own decisions.
Work says the second way DoD is making the transition is through its relationship with Congress. Work says Congress needs to be on board, and so far, it has. The House Armed Services Committee has tried to nudge along the strategy by changing acquisition rules to reflect those of Silicon Valley. The House version of the 2017 Defense Authorization Bill gives the military services flexible funding to encourage experimentation and prototyping. Those are two things that will be needed to entrench the technologies DoD is looking into. Here's Thornberry back in January at the National Press Club talking about experimentation in DoD.
It encourages innovative thinking, not just in developing the technology, but in how you use it. It helps ensure that there is mature technology before you start production so that you don't have those unexpected surprises. It reduces the odds that you're going to spend a lot of money on a program of record that you then have to cancel and have it all wasted. And if you couple that with open architectures, it helps you upgrade your systems as you go along at a lower cost. Today, it's hard to get money for experimentation without being attached to a program of record. And programs of record seem to be sacrosanct because once they get started, they hardly ever get stopped. I want to look for ways to foster experimentation and prototyping, both in developing the technology and in their application, and ensure that only mature technology goes into production.
Work says the third piece of the offset survival is the support of senior military leaders. Work says the leadership needs to be in line with the strategy and believe, regardless of political leadership, that the third offset strategy's investments are right for DoD. Along with the three transitions, Work says DoD is trying to give the next administration a lot of options as to where to take the third offset strategy. Here's Work with an example.
We thought railguns were going to be something we were really going to go after, but it turns out that powder guns firing the same hypervelocity projectiles gets you almost as much as you would get out of the electromagnetic railgun. It's something we could do much faster. So we're going to say, look, we believe that this is the place where you want to put your money. But we're going to have enough money in there for both the electromagnetic railgun and the powder gun. So if the new administration says, no, really, the electromagnetic railgun is the way I want to go, knock yourself out. We've set you up for success.
Of course, the new president could also take the military in a completely different direction from the third offset. One battle that's been waging since Carter announced the strategy is the balance between capability and capacity. Here's Todd Harrison, senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, to explain.
It's more of a difference in priority and kind of your view of where the competition is headed in the future. Capacity helps you more today. It helps you with the kinds of challenges and threats that we're facing today. The capability argument is that threats are growing. They're getting more complex. Our adversaries are developing more advanced weapons. And so in the future, what's going to be even more important are the capabilities of our platforms and what they can do, not so much how many of them we have. And so, you know, what Secretary Carter is doing is leaning more towards the future and what type of capabilities we're going to need in our military 10 or 15 years from now.
Where the next president or defense secretary will land on that debate depends who's elected and who's nominated as secretary. In Washington, Scott Massioni, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.
You can read Scott's story at FederalNewsRadio.com.